for us, and to do it in those circumstances, you know, win by one goal and to score the winning goal, it's just incredible.
Welsh netball is in a really strong position at the moment, and it's a real privilege for me to be able to captain both the Celtic Dragons and the Welsh national team. For Scotland, it really just solidified the progression that we've made as a country on the world stage.
Hi, I'm Juva Mentor, and you're listening to The Netball Show with Viper 10.
I'm Sasha Shipway, it's The Netball Show with Viper 10. This week we hear from Sean Foley-Cora and Danielle Lewis-Collins, who've been speaking to Andy about Zambia as part of the Netball World Cup Legacy Project.
Sean, first of all, let's have a look at that legacy project that's in place. How did the idea come about, or tell us a bit about the thinking behind it?
Yeah, so the project is funded by UK Sport out of their Major Events Legacy Fund. So netball obviously have a really exciting event in Liverpool next year. It's the World Cup, it's the home World Cup, and UK Sport have a pot of money that's distributed to nations within the UK when a major in the UK. And as netball can't access elite funding from UK Sport with it not being a Paralympic or Olympic sport, it was just a really nice opportunity that was instigated by our CEO Joe Adams to receive funding to use the power of the Netball World Cup nations. So ourselves, the INF, UK Sport, we sit on a steering group, we hold the budget for this project. And it started, it's a 3-year project, we're in our second year now, and it started with, you know, an idea around how do we want to use this money based on INF intelligence, where do we believe that our work as a governing body can make the biggest difference. And Zambia was identified as an emerging African nation with lots of talent, needed support in terms of infrastructure. And then we have Argentina, which is in the region of South America where really no netball happens, but we had a federation that was affiliated to INF that really had the drive and the capacity to support the development. So the first year had more of a focus on Argentina in terms of getting that work set up. So we had some coach educators go out there, train up tutors, delivery of level one coaching awards, speaking to them about high performance. And then Zambia's kind of been ramped up this year because we have the Netball World Cup qualifiers for Africa based in Zambia. So we're hoping with home advantage and the support that we're getting from Danielle as coach and previously Julie and ourselves as a governing body at England Netball, we're hoping that that will put Zambia in good stead to put out a really great performance and potentially qualify. But African netball now is on the up, and you know, it's anybody's really to see what will happen next week.
We're quite lucky. Danielle joins us. You've already been there, so what did you learn from that initial visit?
Goodness, it was a whistle-stop tour. I think it was up there for 5 days. So I guess you would probably imagine it's nowhere near as established in terms of the support networks, just the basics that we take for granted, I think, over here, being a coach over here and always knowing you've got a first aid kit and the players are turning up in the right trainers, the right training equipment, those sorts of things. What really struck me, though, I think, is how passionate they are about their sport. And these are women who are a lot of squad members. This is not a professional thing for them. They do this alongside their full-time careers. And a lot of them are career women in the army and the prison corrections service. And netball is also a very huge part of their professional career because they will represent the army, for example. Netball, so it's all so ingrained and so much part of what they do. And in terms of then the natural ability and talent, that there are some amazing athletes out there. So I think what struck me with the most was how well they're doing, considering sort of in the absence of what I would say are a lot of the basics when it comes to playing any kind of sport. But also just their absolute passion, regardless of what they do and don't have. I think that really struck me.
We see people like Camilla, she's out in Uganda as well. It's almost that universal respect for being able to learn of somebody new, and you'll get loads out of that as well.
Absolutely, and I think it's challenged me. I've been coaching for a few years now, and this is definitely something way out of my comfort zone, in as much as I've it's very easy for me to coach where I am, out based down in Brighton. I have everything I need, and we complain sometimes about, oh, we can't find an indoor sports hall, those courts aren't quite big enough, or the post is slightly bent. And then you kind of go out to somewhere like that and realise that we've got it so easy in comparison. And the challenges for me personally as a coach in terms of thinking on your feet, trying to adapt practices and work around circumstances that you wouldn't necessarily expect to hit you when you're coaching over here in England. That for me was a huge learning curve. And also the social and personal interactions, it's a different culture. There's a lot of different things that are going on in the players' world, things that I probably have never been, or no, I definitely have never been exposed to in my coaching in England. So that was huge for me as well, and I think it's given me a much better understanding of the breadth of the person that is involved in the sport, and just as a coach, how you need to react and change and think about things that I probably have never thought about or considered when I'm planning a netball session over here.
Have there been with the fact that it's England Netball that want to partner with them, given our status at the minute?
I think it's fair to say that from Zambia's perspective, they almost see us as a bit of a big sister. So they've seen how we've developed. You know, we've gone on our own journey as an organisation trying to break into that top two in terms of the rankings, top two in terms of finals. We ourselves as an organisation over the past couple of years have gone through a lot of change alongside funding cuts. So from Zambia's perspective, they can see from afar the changes that we've made, the fact we've got players increasingly playing abroad, so they are a more valuable asset, for want of a better phrase, to teams over in Australia and New Zealand. So what's been lovely from my perspective is, am I seeing somebody in Danielle going out there and being able to offer her expertise, but also learn herself as a coach about what it takes to go over to a country such as Zambia and immerse herself in their culture and their work. From my perspective, you know, trying to drive where we want coaching to go, to be able to share that with Zambia and go on a bit of a journey with them is phenomenal for my personal development as well. And it's great to see that actually doing is being admired and learnt from afar. And I just think it's going to be the beginnings of a really kind of nice relationship between both countries. And it'll be lovely to see their progression and learn from them in terms of how they deal with adversity versus how we do. Only see it as a positive, and you know, maybe in a few years we'll be lamenting supporting them so much because they might be challenging us in the world rankings, you never know. So yeah, it's a great experience, and it's just something that you could only sort of dream about taking on in your working life, really.
After the Com Games, we saw the interest in the sport grow a lot more. The demand on the website was up as well. How have things been since? Interest been maintained?
Oh, it's been crazy. I mean, interestingly enough, the week after we won Commonwealth Games gold, we actually had a meeting booked to start discussing as heads of department how we were going to create a legacy plan for the World Cup. And within a week window, because we needed to learn very quickly from the legacy that was already being created from Commonwealth gold. And elite sport definitely drives participation and interest, and you know, we've had, you know, more coaches taking interest, whether they're new or existing. I've had mums emailing me asking how they can take their level one, because them and their daughter got up at 4 a.m. in the morning to watch us win, and that sparked a conversation where she learned her daughter's school didn't have a netball team. You know, the stories that we've had come through for players and coaches has been amazing. But what struck me the most is the drive and the passion that still exists. Tracy's already parked the gold. He's already focusing on the next performance cycle phase. It's not stopped the hunger. If anything, it's reignited it further. And for us as an organisation, we're just so incredibly proud of all the hard work that everybody's put into it. But one of the things that's been really nice is, as Tracy's been very clear in saying, it's like the people's gold. Like, it's not, doesn't just belong to the England squad. It belongs to every netball fan, new or old, that supported the girls and really celebrated that win. So we're not resting on our laurels. We know that we have a responsibility to capitalise on that spark in demand. We have a responsibility to utilise the power of the World Cup that we have in our home country next year. And our mission is to make sure that every woman and girl has that opportunity to play or experience netball, be it an umpire, coach or player. So it's really exciting times for the sport, and it's our job now to really harness the power of that gold and take it through to Liverpool next year, but also to Birmingham 2022.
You mentioned a bit there about the increase in awareness of the coaching badges, that kind of thing. What kind of timescales are usually involved with that?
So for your level one coaching award, that's over a weekend. So you will go on a course, you'll learn, you know, the beginnings of how to coach, your responsibilities, and then you'll have a light assessment at the end of it to make sure that everything you've learned you're putting into practice effectively, and you've got the support you need to take on the next stage of your coaching journey. Your level two, and that's more ramping up that responsibility that you come out of that qualification, assessed on your ability to be an independent coach. And then the level three is more of a 18-month period, which Danielle herself is on at the moment. I think you've just completed your second week, Dan.
Yeah.
And that's more designed for coaches that are delivering a periodized program over a year, where they're really delivering a team and a player's objectives over a season long period. And that's an application process where you're assessed. You don't automatically get on the level three, because we're really clear that level three is going to put that qualification into practice and apply the learning that they gain. And also it's a course that we do have heavily subscribed every couple of years. But we're very keen that coaches see outside that qualifications bubble and take the time to Google, to go on YouTube, to go on Twitter, to learn from others, go on Facebook. We know as a governing body, we can provide that formal offer, but also we want our coaches to have that growth, take it upon themselves to understand what they need to learn more about and put it into practice, because, you know, everybody now is more inquisitive, has technology at their fingertips, and it's a coach's job to really make sure that they remain current, and that isn't always just through a formal qualification, it is by learning off other social media. So yeah, that's something we really believe in at England Netball, and through the launch of the coaching strategy in the next sort of couple of months or so, those messages will become clearer as well.
An opportunity like this for you, Danielle, as well, it almost just adds to the whole process.
Absolutely. I think it was all very, very well timed. As Sean said, I started my level three in April, and it's something I've been thinking about for a couple of years. But it's a big investment of time and a lot of work to go into. So I think you really need to go into it really clear about what it is you want to do. And for me, this year, finally hung up my playing shoes after sort of a fair few years of attempting to retire. So I finally hung them up, and I absolutely love coaching. I really, really do. And after a few years of kind of doing a bit of everything all over the place, I do coach across a very broad spectrum of participants. This just seemed to come at the perfect time. So April, I started my level three, started this journey with the Zambian team, and have no idea what's going to happen next week. It could go any which way. But in terms of my future development, of my current and future development, I really feel like it's something that's really clicked for me, and it's given me a whole new perspective of what I want to do with my coaching, and some of the opportunities as well. I mean, a lot of people have been talking to me about, since I went on my first trip, about how did I get into coaching, how did I get into netball, and the impact it had on my life. And had you said to me 5, 6, 7 years ago I'd be off to Zambia to support their national team in the World Cup qualifiers, I probably would have laughed, and it wouldn't have been on my radar at all. But it's here, and on Thursday, in 2 days' time, I'll be flying out there, and next week I'll be part of a World Cup qualifying event, which is huge for me personally, but also seeing the impact it's had on a lot of the girls that I coach. So I, as part of my junior netball club, I've really got the girls involved in what I'm doing and sharing all the experiences of the players out there. And it's really, it sounds a bit cliche, I know, but in terms of inspiring the next generation, it really, really has. And I think that's huge for the sport on the whole, but just when you start talking about empowering girls, females, women in sport, everything that's happened, even just in the last 4 weeks for me, and how much Dory's been picked up and how much support I've got, just shows to me the power of sport in action, and has given me another real boost, I think, in terms of whatever happens next week. I want to keep this going. I really, really do, because I think it's huge both for Africa netball, for Zambia netball, but also for what we're doing over here.
Hi, it's Rhea Dixon, and I'm taking part in a charity 10K walk on the 1st of September. A very special person lost his life in May this year to suicide after suffering from PTSD. The walk is to raise awareness and funds for counselling to ex-servicemen who are suffering from mental health issues. This is a very personal cause, and I'd really appreciate any help you guys could give me in the way of donations, even if it's only £1, because every little bit can really make a difference to people's lives. You can find the donation link in my Twitter and Instagram bios. Just search at Rhea Dixon. So in advance, thank you so much, and it really means a lot to have your support.
Really excited to announce our WASP Netball Academy Pathway Trials are now open. They are going to be held on the 8th of September up at Denton College. These trials are for anybody that would like to join our pathway and existing hub athletes. This will be our entry point for under 19s, under 21s, and we'll also select our under 17 and under 15 long squads from this as well. So if anyone's interested in joining part of our WASP family, we would love to see you there. All details are on the WASP website. Look forward to seeing your faces there.
I think the first thing that stands out for me about wearing Viper 10 kit is just the feel of it. It's so comfortable. Since the brand's come around, I think I've still got the same hoodie from about 5 years ago, and it fits so well. The colour remains, and I think that's one of the most important things, particularly with sportswear brands nowadays. You're wearing them day in, day out. People love living in their active wear, and the fact that this active wear looks good, it feels good, it's just great to wear.
I'm Sasha Shipway, it's the Netball Show with Viper 10.
I'd love to be able to afford to charter a plane to get even more stuff out there, but no, we're doing really well. I've been absolutely blown away by the support from the Netball family in terms of kind of donations, financial support. A lot of you would have seen the GoFundMe page that we've had, and thank you so much to you guys as well for supporting that. So we've managed to raise so much money in such a short space of time that's helped me out that. And in terms of next steps, I very much see this as this is just the beginning. So regardless of what happens next week, I'd love to keep this support going, and I think you'll be seeing a lot more from me in terms of this is what we can do for Zambia. But let's see what happens next week, because we could be talking about two very different pathways, but both pathways that will involve myself, my netball club, and hopefully the wider netball family continuing to support them.
I know it's only a few days away, but you sound excited enough already.
I do, and Sean's very aware of this, because I think she gets this from me. I think everybody around me, I'm not sure if they're still really excited or they're just saying, oh my goodness, can you just be quiet about it for 2 minutes? It's something that's really, really close to my heart. I first went to Zambia 10 years ago through some work I do in a football school and a football club, and at the time I was working in a music company. So my first experience of Africa as a whole, and specifically Zambia, was going out there 10 years ago to work with a children's village, an orphanage, which ironically, bizarrely, matter of fate, is about a mile away from the OYDC where we were based in Lusaka a couple of weeks ago with the national team. And it's an orphanage for kids who've been through absolutely horrendous experiences. And I went 3 years in a row, about starting 10 years ago, and coached football, a bit of netball, but also was looking at musical integration into the education. So it just feels like it comes full circle, and it's going to sound really fluffy and really ridiculous, but it sort of feels a bit like fate that now, 10 years on, after first having my experience with the children's village just down the road from the OYDC, which didn't exist then, I'm back there. I'm working on the other end of this spectrum with the national team, but it all just fits. I think for me, as a personal journey, I couldn't have asked for better timing or a better fit if I tried.
It sounds really exciting. What's the best way that we can keep an eye on what you're going to be up to?
Well, in case anybody's missed my immense amount of tweets, I'm
surely
on Twitter,
not.
I'm also on Instagram, and I'm also on Facebook. So it's under my netball club based down in Brighton. It's Five Ways Netball. Brighton. So you can follow me on any of those three, and I will absolutely, pending Wi-Fi and internet access, I will definitely be doing my daily Diary of a Netball Coach and keeping everyone up to date. I can't promise there won't be a lot of emotion, probably a few tears, but we'll go with it, and I'm sure everyone will give me a little bit of leeway for that, because I think it's going to be a pretty emotional time. But if anybody wants to support or stay up to date, please do follow me on any of those, Facebook, Instagram, on Twitter, under Five Ways Netball.
Just to add to that, England Netball's channels, in terms of EN Coaching _, will be making sure that we tweet the results from the African qualifiers. We'll be able to retweet any of Danielle's content, and we'll be following the progress of the team and the wider legacy project as well. So we'll have it covered, and we are, fingers crossed, hoping to organise live streaming of the event. INF are just finalising details for that, so hopefully we'll be able to tweet that from our channels, and the Netball Show can retweet that to all their followers, so people can watch some fantastic netball live on the internet. And the beauty of it is Zambia's only an hour ahead, so there'll be no early mornings needed to follow the progress of the tournament.
Danielle, could you ever imagine that you'd be doing this when you started in the game?
Not at all, and to be honest, I'm not entirely sure I'm convinced it's happening just yet, even though I've been out there. No, my netball journey, I've always played back when I was in school. We didn't have anywhere near the established pathways that we have now, in terms of the England pathways with county and satellite academies, with the Super League getting involved. There's just so much access to netball, and I didn't really have a lot of that when I was a player. But it's just always something that's absolutely been ingrained in me, sport in general, but at a point when I needed to pick, where am I going to go? Is it going to be hockey? Is it going to be netball? Is it going to be athletic? Netball was just always light years ahead of all the other sports. And going into adulthood, I think, as a lot of us do, I came out of university, got into a career, started working, other priorities come into play. And netball really took a back seat for me, I guess, for a few years when I first moved down to Sussex and started working down here. And then just managed to get myself into a local team, and this is probably about 12 years ago, just playing a Monday night local league. So if I take myself back to there, I wasn't coaching, I didn't really know anything about netball outside of I get on a court, I run around, I throw a ball around. So if I think back to then and look at myself now, no, I absolutely couldn't believe it. And I think the prospect of going through this tournament, just the experience of going through an international qualifying tournament, and it is crazy, I think, in terms of me and my experience. But it feels really, really good. And I suppose my only, if I look back 10-15 years, I guess I wish there was just as much promotion of the sport as there is now, and I had more opportunities to play a little bit more. But like, that's not stopping me now. I'm getting older, but I'm still running around and still attempting to play like an 18-year-old. I think when I have people come up to me who are nothing to do with netball, they're vaguely aware of this sport, and they'll come up to me and say, "Wow, so it's going well in the netball world," and it's almost like they're personally saying to me, "Netball must be good for you with England winning the gold." I'd love to take some credit for it, but I think a few people might have something to say about it. But just the fact that people who have never really heard of, seen, been engaged in the sport are starting to talk about it. But then also that girls who are playing at the moment, and young girls that I'm working with, 10, 11, 12-year-olds, are already saying things like, "I want to be an England Rose one day. I watched it on Super League. I watched the Australian play. Oh, did you know that this player's doing this?" They're starting to feel like a culture that feels maybe a bit more akin to football, and the young footballers that I see who are always talking about their favourite players and wanting to buy the shirt of their favourite football team. I'm just starting to feel like that's sifting into netball, and young players are starting to have the same sort of passion for the sport. So for me, that's huge, and I would never be in this situation. I'd never have this experience if it wasn't for this sport. So it absolutely is a bit of a dream come true, but not a dream that I ever thought would even around or even a remote possibility even just a few years ago. So that's a huge thank you to both England Netball, UK Sport, and obviously Zambia. Zambia Netball for giving me the opportunity, for welcoming me and allowing me to kind of really get stuck in as well.
And Sian, England Netball coaching, you're always busy. We see this morning you've launched the Coaches Fitness Project. Tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, so it's LRG Fitness have partnered more with umpiring rather than coaching at this point, but LRG Fitness have been a fitness partner of England Netball for quite a while now. Their unique sign up as a member and get fitness sessions sent to direct to your inbox on the go. And as an England Netball, when you hit a certain number of sessions, you get like prizes and incentives. And I think it's a reflection of, you know, everything that Danielle's just talked. As a netballer, you live and breathe it, and sometimes you need that time for you, and LRG Fitness gives its members the opportunity to get fit in your living room, in your spare room, in your hotel room, if you're away with work, on the go. It's much cheaper than a gym membership, but they're hit quite impressive, and they did a recent training session with some of our netball development community coaches, and they were just blown away. And I know from some Elf uses the sessions when she's out and about traveling with the squad. So I just think it's another reflection that netball really understand, give our members the opportunity to experience some of these products. And yeah, it's a really exciting partnership, and I think from what I've seen on social media, more and more people are signing up and utilizing the opportunity just to get a quick 30 minutes hit session in at the end of the day and still manage to feel fit, and it means that you can have a bit of a treat at the weekend as well.
It's been really good speaking to the pair of you this weekend, and if anything, Danielle, enjoy the trip.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And Sian, thanks a lot for saying that it takes ages to do my badges because I've got no chance of being Storm's assistant coach by the start of the season.
Well, I'm sure with a good mentor around at Storm or around that area of the country, those badges will be easily done. You'll enjoy every minute of it.
Thank you so much to you as well. And I also just wanted to say a huge shout out to everybody who has supported us so far. We've had so many donations and offers of support, and over the next few days one of my tasks today is to start sifting through all that and starting to make a packing list. So I will be giving a big shout out to everyone individually, but just as a general thank you so much to everyone who's supported us so far. I genuinely have been overwhelmed, and the power of sport in action has been huge, so thank you.
What a fantastic initiative. Good luck to those girls. Thank you very much for listening to this week's episode. If you'd like to get in touch, remember you can contact us at The Netball Show via Twitter or Facebook. Thanks for listening and see you next week.
I didn't really think it was ever going to happen for us, and to do it in those circumstances, you know, win by one goal and to score the winning goal, it's just incredible.
Welsh netball is in a really strong position at the moment, and it's a real privilege for me to be able to captain both the Celtic Dragons and the Welsh national team. For Scotland, it really just solidified the progression that we've made as a country on the world stage.
Hi, I'm Juva Mentor, and you're listening to The Netball Show with Viper 10.